Hello, and welcome to this new episode of Just the Discs. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. This episode, I am going to talk about some musicals, which is a genre that at one time I was not particularly fond of, but to which I have come around in a pretty big way. And at some point, I hope to be covering Blu-ray releases of things like Top Hat and Swing Time. I'm really hoping that Warner Archive comes through with some nice new editions of those films. Those are two of my favorite musicals of all time. But a few of these are more in line with some other favorites of mine, like Xanadu. That's definitely one that I have a real soft spot for. And for some reason, this first movie, I connect to it in a big way. And that is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band from 1978. It was 20 years ago today. Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. They've been going in and out of style, but they're guaranteed to raise a smile. So we introduce to you the acting over all these years, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
The town of Heartland, he left his musical instruments. These instruments have the power to make dreams come true. And as long as they remained in Heartland's care, humanity would live happily forever after.
So it says, in high def and getting better all the time, sit back and let the evening go with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the 1978 musical Spectacular, featuring stunning reinterpretations of 20 classic Beatles songs. The one and only Billy Shears, multi-platinum recording artist Peter Frampton, and his best friends the Hendersons, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers the Bee Gees, are four young men from the quaint little town of Heartland. With superstardom calling, this fabulous foursome leaves Heartland and Billy's beloved Strawberry Fields, Sandy Farina, vulnerable to mean Mr. Mustard, who steals Sgt. Pepper's magical instruments for a fiendish, quote, evil force that would poison young minds, pollute the environment, and subvert the democratic process. It's up to our heroes to save everything they hold dear with the power of music, kindness, and heart. Featuring performances by Aerosmith, George Burns, Steve Martin, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and more, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is a magical musical tour through some of the greatest songs ever written and an astounding time capsule of the late 70s, unlike anything you've ever seen or heard. So yeah, Sgt. Pepper's is one of those movies that is seen as, I guess, kind of terrible from a critical point of view, but to which I have a great deal of affection. Partially because I'm a big Beatles fan from my high school on. Actually, prior to that, I think my parents were playing Beatles records in the house when I was younger than high school, but I really got into the oldies station that we had locally. Oldies, 94.9. When I was about 15 or 16, and my girlfriend at the time was a big classic music fan or an oldies fan, and so that, you know, pushed me into that world in a big way, and I think in such a formative period that I've never forgotten. So I have just a great appreciation for Beatles songs, and even in the context of a very strange movie. And this movie is very strange. You know, it does maybe reek of something that was conceived via drug use. You never can tell. But it's a very bizarre movie. And as much as some people may not, I really appreciate the reinterpretations of the Beatles songs. In fact, Beatles covers in general are something I absolutely adore. I love the original versions, but I've always been a big fan of covers of their songs. So, and I love the Bee Gees too, to be honest. I really prefer the Bee Gees pre-disco music. And they're obviously very influenced by the Beatles and feel like the Beatles in their early periods if you go back to some of their earlier albums. But Odessa, for me, which is not necessarily like a Beatles album, but is still one of my favorite Bee Gees albums of all time, is really remarkable. And I think they're great musicians with great sound, you know, in terms of the vocal harmonies that they can do. And they're just, you know, one of those musical artists that will always be a favorite of mine. So even with a weird movie where you've got, you know, Mr. Mustard personified and as a guy with this weird robot. And I mean, I can't even begin to explain this movie or try to encapsulate the plot. It's not that difficult. It's just more one of those movies that should be experienced, I think.
Hi, I'm Josh Olson, and you're watching Trailers from Hell. It's been said that the 70s were Hollywood's last great golden era, and that's a sentiment I completely agree with. We're going to be talking about a movie that absolutely personifies that theory, that proves it, I think, beyond any shadow of a doubt. When they say they don't make them that way anymore, they can only be talking about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sgt. Pepper was directed by Michael Schultz, who had also done Coolie High, Car Wash, Grease Lightning, Which Way Is Up, which, weirdly, was a remake of a Lena Wertmüller film. Producer Robert Stigwood, who had done Saturday Night Fever and a couple other films, came to Schultz with the idea of turning Sgt. Pepper into a movie, the great Beatles album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sure, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea, but the last time Stigwood had come to Schultz with an idea for a movie, it had been Grease, and Schultz thought that was a terrible idea and had turned it down. So, not trusting his instincts, he took the job. I'm sure he regrets it today. Anyway, watching this film again is like recovering a traumatic memory from youth. You just try to forget that it ever existed. It's inconceivable and indescribable in its awfulness. You got George Burns and Donald Pleasence singing Beatles songs. What more do you need? I will say that Aerosmith is pretty good, though. And frankly, the Bee Gees are pretty great. If you went to see Beatlemania on Broadway and the Bee Gees were the guys playing the Beatles, you'd be in for a pretty good night. They were great singers, had great harmonies. You kind of wish, though, that they'd screen-tested Peter Frampton before they cast him in the lead. The poor guy cannot hold a close-up, or really, frankly, a tune. He is a terrific guitar player. But the interesting thing about Sgt. Pepper really is they don't make him like this anymore. The madness, the idiocy, and the lunacy that would allow someone to make this movie, I would argue, is the same madness, idiocy, and lunacy that lets Francis Ford Coppola go off to the Philippines for 2 years to make a Vietnam movie based on Heart of Darkness. You don't get the good without the bad. In the 70s, we were making some of the best movies in the history of the medium, while at the same time making some of the worst. The difference between a really good studio film and a really bad studio film, though, today is so slim, you can't always tell the difference. Some movies get great reviews and other movies are panned and, you know, they're just a few studio notes away from each other. I would argue that the existence of Sgt. Pepper was necessary for the 70s to be what they were. But it is a fascinating time capsule when you look at it. It's almost as if they knew they were trying to take a picture of the 70s that we would look back on now and cringe. So much of it is quintessential 70s. Steve Martin, who one of the great comics, giving probably the worst performance in the film, to Donald Pleasence singing I Want You. And then there's this strange thing at the end where it seems like they just gathered up anybody who was slightly famous who was walking around the studio and threw them into a big sing-along at the end. I don't know what Seals and Crofts are doing in this movie, but I'm sort of weirdly glad they're in it. Carol Channing shows up, Keith Carradine. Based on the era and the kind of film it is, it's kind of shocking that he's not in it. Marty Feldman is conspicuous by his absence. Apparently they approached him, but Marty was one of the few people who had good enough sense to know this was the worst idea in the history of film and said no. It's just an indescribably bizarre film that could only have come out of Hollywood in the 70s.
So, I don't know, I think it's got kind of a cult following these days. It's from director Michael Schultz, who did Car Wash and Scavenger Hunt and Cooley High and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I wish they had gotten him for a commentary, but they do have a commentary on this track with pop culture historian Russell DeBall, and that's a good track too. So I was fully on board with that. Also, the DP was Owen Roizman, who shot things like Network and just one of the great cinematographers of the 1970s. So the movie looks good. It also has Donald Pleasance in addition to George Burns and Steve Martin, and hearing Steve Martin sing Maxwell's Silver Hammer is still one of the strange, joyous things in my life.
Jones was quizzical, studied pataphysical science in the home. Late night, all alone with a tattoo. Maxwell Edison, majoring in medicine, called her on the phone. Can I take you out to the pictures, Joe? Oh, oh, oh. But as she's getting ready to go, a knock comes on the door. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down upon her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that she was dead.
Very odd. And George Burns singing Beatles is kind of cool too. But yeah, this is a really interesting movie. Definitely falls into the almost WTF kind of category. But I have, like I said, a great affection for it. Would be a fun double with Xanadu, which is another one I love. Next up, speaking of total out there, crazy, what the heck is this kind of musicals, I have something called The Apple from 1980.
In 1994, the world is controlled by one power. The Apple is success.
There ain't no pride, there ain't no shame, there ain't no sympathy.
The Apple brings you everything.
What about happiness?
Child of love, show me, tell me.
I wanted to release Bibi from a contract. Cheers. Where is she?
I stand alone.
The Apple is the temptation.
Taste it. Taste it. Taste it.
The Apple is the experience.
Take the apple. Whoa! Praise the apple! Whoa! Yeah, 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 yeah!
The apple is the forbidden fruit.
Come and take me and shake me and mold me and make me and fill me up with your fire. Come do anything to me, your little heart desires.
Baby, I must see you. I gotta talk to you.
The apple takes your soul.
New York out to L.A., everybody does it her way. Pumpkin power.
Special experience in movie-going entertainment, The Apple.
And it says, in the glitzy, glittering, futuristic world of 1994, music is king, and the man who controls it is all-powerful, malicious mogul Mr. Boogaloo. Now he has his eye on two fresh-faced young singers, Alfie and Bibi, who score a hit at his World Vision Song Festival and fall under the irresistible spell of fame, money, and temptation. As BB becomes a mammoth superstar, will Alfie be able to save her soul before it's too late? Jam with songs that will stay in your head for days, this cult classic musical Blast, directed by 1980s cult legend Menachem Golan and starring Catherine Mary Stewart, The Last Starfighter and Night of the Comet, is a rocking, rolling, poptastic midnight hit like no other. Once you've taken a bite of the apple, you will never be the same. Now see this amazing film from a brand new HD master and presented in stereo. So this one comes from Kina Lorber and Scorpion, and it was a long-awaited Blu-ray, another movie that is, some say, so bad it's good kind of stuff. I'm not really into that particular moniker, but it's definitely a movie that is crazy and clearly comes from a certain kind of brain that just was able to come up with something completely out of this world and unique, and it's obviously a very biblical fable. The apple itself, you know, very symbolic of the Garden of Eden, and it's not at all subtle in terms of its parable nature. But regardless, the songs are interesting and crazy, and the whole idea of this world.
Citizens,
it is now 1:01. Time to stop ordinary activities and prepare for the national BIM hour.
All traffic must pull over and stop immediately. BIM exercises commence in 40 seconds. Join in the National Fitness Program.
Citizens, attention. Counting down to BIM hour. Exercises designed for your health and peace of mind. All citizens must participate.
Attention, citizens. Shut down the machines. Put away your work. Get up and get ready for BIM hour.
10 seconds to BIM hour.
The National Fitness Program is watching you.
5, 4, 3, 2,
BIM.
And Joss Ackland, and yeah, it's just so bizarre, this movie, and I can see why people watch it and are kind of like, what the heck did I just watch? I need to watch it again, or they never want to see it as long as they live. But I've always had a crush on Catherine Mary Stewart, and she's totally adorable in this, and like I said, the movie is almost like some kind of alternate universe, Ed Wood-directed Phantom of the Paradise or something, you know what I mean? It's just, it's on its own continent, so to speak.
Hi, this is Josh Olson, and you're watching Trailers from Hell. I'm here to introduce one of my favorite bad movies of all time, in fact, possibly the best bad movie ever made, The Apple, which was directed by Menachem Golan. And I am wearing my BIM mark, which if you're hip enough to have seen this film, you'll understand. And if you're not, you won't. But you should get this movie. It's absolutely wonderful. Now, this movie is set in the future being...
In 1994, the world is controlled by one power.
It is one of the most demented and deranged visions of the future you'll ever see. The government is taken over by this satanic music industry, and people are forced to sing and dance every day at the same hour. This is everyone doing the BIM dance. They all have to wear their BIM marks on their head or be sent to jail. I can't take it. These are some of the most insane gonzo musical numbers you're ever going to see. And unlike some kind of cult music films, I like to think of Wild in the Streets being one of my favorites, the music in The Apple is actually really, really bad. There are very few songs that are hummable, and the performers aren't particularly good. But this is one of those bad movies that just never stops delivering. People like to talk about films like the one that always makes me crazy is Showgirls. People say, oh, it's so bad it's good. Showgirls has some moments, but this is a movie. The Apple just never stops. It is insanely entertaining. It's probably more entertaining than any 10 good movies you can name. And it bears up to repeated viewing. It's also one of those great films that's so bad it doesn't require any kind of drug or alcohol intake because it will alter your mind all by itself.
The Apple is the experience.
Take the apple!
This is the title sequence in which the main characters go to hell and are tempted by an actual apple by a crazy half-naked Roger Daltrey lookalike.
Come and take me.
This is George Gilmore, the star of the film. He did a Clinton Spilsbury. This is the only film he's ever appeared in, has never been heard from since. And once you see The Apple, you'll understand why. He does have a great scene, though, where he sings, I believe the line is, I'm standing in the rain with my back against the wall. And he's actually literally standing in the rain with his back against a wall. Menachem Golan ran Canon Studios, which is where I had my very first job working as a production assistant many years ago. So I'm very proud to claim some kind of weird connection to this film. This here is the greatest musical number in the film. It's called Speed, and it is quite simply an ode to cocaine. I have to imagine there was a good deal of this stuff floating around on the set of this movie. Because Because the Apple is set in the mid-90s, I like to look at it as a kind of alternate future. This is what would have happened to the world and the world of music if Nirvana had never come on the scene. The Apple really is one of those films you have to see to believe.
But I like it, and I'm happy to have this Blu-ray. It is from a brand new 2016 HD Master. It has audio commentary with Catherine Mary Stewart, moderated by Nathaniel Thompson, and an on-camera interview with star Catherine Mary Stewart. So this is a good disc with some interesting recollections from the star of the movie. Definitely good for your triple feature with Xanadu and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Next up, I have one from Warner Archive, and that is Brigadoon from 1954.
Brigadoon, as a motion picture, has been hailed as the brightest singing and dancing spectacle since An American in Paris. A whopping new screen triumph by the same star, the same director, and the same producer who gave you that Academy Award-winning musical.
Brigadoon tells a wonderful story, too. An American in Scotland. A courageous young fella who isn't afraid to admit he's fed up with a big city hubbub. And he does something about it, amid the quiet beauty of the Highlands.
A hunting he goes.
Ah, yes, but a romance he finds.
With two loves in his life, he makes a choice.
Will it be the village girl from Brigadoon who adores him body and soul?
Or the sophisticated cafe society beauty of New York's nightlife?
The only scotch she knows comes out of a bottle.
Am I to hold my heart till he comes strolling by?
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love.
It says, look on a map and you won't find it. Look in your heart and there it will be. Enchantment is a place and a movie called Brigadoon, when Gene Kelly stars in and choreographs a lyrical film adaptation of the 1947 Broadway musical by Alan J. Lerner and Frederick Lowe. Vincent Minnelli directs this otherworldly tale of vacationing New Yorkers, Kelly and Van Johnson, who discover a Scottish village that comes to life once every 100 years for one day only. There, Kelly and the town lass, Sid Charisse, share the love of a lifetime, one seemingly allotted just 24 hours. But fear not, there's magic and timeless songs hereabouts, almost like being in love, the heather on the hill, and more. So this one isn't quite as crazy as those other two, but is definitely interesting in that it is a fantasy. And I like musicals from the 50s in general, as they often had, you know, lavish production design and were shot in scope, as this one was. It's a 2:55:1 aspect ratio, so super wide. But yeah, I like this sort of fantastic fairy tale kind of movie. It just allows for the musical form to be even more storybookish in the best possible way. And I like Gene Kelly, not as much as Fred and Ginger or anything, but he's good in this, and Sid Charisse is always good with him. But yeah, a really interesting film from Vincent Minnelli's career. I mean, he did some very cool musicals, better musicals than this, like The Bandwagon and Meet Me in St. Louis and things like that. But I don't know, I have a soft spot for this one, and I'm very happy that it got a Warner Archive Blu-ray recently. Special features include outtake musical numbers Come to Me, Bend to Me, and From This Day On, and Sword Dance, and audio outtake There But For You Go I, as well as a theatrical trailer. So a very good looking new transfer for this classic Gene Kelly and Sid Charisse musical from Warner Archive. Check it out. Next up, I've got one of two from Twilight Time. This is Kid Galahad from 1962.
Poor man wants the oyster, the rich man wants the pearl, but the man who can sing when he hasn't got a thing, he's a king of the whole wide world.
It's the inimitable, incomparable Elvis Presley, shaping up like a fistful of dynamite as...
Kid Galahad!
It's a knockout. A honey of a picture full of that Elvis kind of action. That Elvis kind of lovin'.
What do you do when you feel like this?
people usually get married, I understand.
So won't you tell me that you love me? Hurry up and name the day.
That Elvis kind of twisting.
My good luck is really here to stay. Oh, I got luck.
And that exciting Elvis kind of singing.
Home is where the heart is. And my heart is anywhere you are. Anywhere you are is home. It's a whistling tune for walking in the night.
Nobody asked you to come here. All you had were your empty pockets and a shine on the seat of your pants.
Don't push me, Willie. I'm a grease monkey that won't slide so easily.
Shut up, I said.
You can't yell loud enough to make me shut up. Well, I'll tell you what I think of the fight game. I think it stinks. And when it does for me what I want to do, I'm getting out.
The rainbow, hitting the highway to happiness. Oh yes, I'm looking to find someone who's meant to be mine.
And it says a musical version of a 1937 boxing picture, Kid Galahad, 1962, stars Elvis Presley as a singing boxer managed by a cantankerous promoter, Gig Young, and guided by an amiable trainer, Charles Bronson. Joan Blackman provides the love interest, Lola Albright co-stars, and Edward Asner makes his screen debut. The songs include the up-tempo I Got Lucky. So this one's also directed by Phil Carlson, which I think is really interesting, as he's a very sort of gritty, noirish director. He did things like 99 River Street and Phoenix City Story. So this is an interesting departure from his normal bread and butter. But I like it. I like Elvis movies in general. My wife is a big Elvis fan. She grew up with Elvis movies, so we sort of have a shared love of his stuff. And this was one I don't think I'd seen before this Blu-ray, and I like it very much. I like the supporting cast, Gig Young and Charles Bronson. Come on. And a singing boxing movie? I don't know. For me, that's kind of something that I'm totally into. So, I don't know. I dug this one. I mean, it's no Clam Bake or anything.
Clam Bake, gonna have a clam bake.
But it's definitely worth your time, and this is a nice 1.85:1 transfer that looks great on this Twilight Time Blu-ray. Definitely worth it for Elvis fans. I like that Twilight Time has put an emphasis on some of the Elvis releases, so definitely worth getting. And lastly, I have the most traditional of the musicals in this group, and this is also from Twilight Time, and it's How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Of all the Broadway musical comedies that ever made the screen sing out, nothing succeeds like Succeed.
I believe in you.
A secretary is not nothing, while Nike pulled my string. Her pants is to write in and not spend the night in.
I play it the company way. Wherever the company puts me, there I'll stay.
This book is all that I need. How to succeed.
The only motion picture that guarantees you a better position.
Mr. Finch will be starting out in our mailroom. Mr. Gatch is taking young Finch into his department as a junior executive.
Finch, I'm making you vice president in charge of advertising.
Vice president?
Well, Ponty, what do you think?
Large.
Oh, I believe in you.
Oh, I believe in you.
The motion picture that shows you how to take an all-day coffee break with lots of sugar. How to have a 50-week vacation with play. To take a dip.
A secretary is not a toy. No, my boy, not a toy.
How to take a dip in the secretarial pool.
Be good to the girl you employ. Boy, remember, no matter what neurotic trouble you've got, a secretary is not a toy.
Warning. See it before your boss does.
And it says, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, 1967. is writer-director David Swift's movie adaptation of the award-winning Broadway musical featuring score and original hit staging by a pair of legends, Frank Loesser and Bob Fosse. Gleefully reprising their Broadway roles as a scary ambitious window cleaner and a befuddled company president are Robert Morse and Rudy Valli, joined here by Michael Lee, Anthony Teague, and Maureen Arthur in an entertainingly vicious take on big business. So this is one that I had not seen and had kind of avoided because it just seemed like your sort of standard, you know, musical fare adapted from a Broadway play. It wasn't until I got this disc that I even realized the Bob Fosse thing. So that, you know, definitely gives it a little boost. And it's got Robert Morse, who unlike a lot of people, saw him first in The Loved One, which I adore and which I like him very much in. But I think that this was his big break, and this is where most people saw him, was in this movie. And he's good. He's just the right fit for this sort of thing. So this is another sort of lavish production. It's a 2:35:1 transfer. Looks good. Special features include an isolated music track with some effects. Something called This Book Is All That You Need, Robert Morse on J. Pierpont Finch, and something called A Secretary Is Not a Toy, Michelle Lee on Rosemary Pilkington. Some good little extras there. I think those reported from the DVD. But a good-looking Blu-ray musical from Twilight Time. Definitely worth a look, I think, and worthy of this stack and this episode. So that will do it for this go-round of musicals. I do hope to have more musicals to cover in the future, as they are a fun genre that I don't talk about enough on this show. So hopefully you enjoyed this one and will seek out some musicals because of it. Have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.